Hey everyone, welcome to the Smiles Are Wild podcast, brought to you by Pediatric Dental Associates and Orthodontics. My name is Amy Morgan. Each week we will be bringing you tangible advice that you can use to help with your child's oral health care needs at home and on the go. We will offer fun and educational tips and tricks, but we hope that you will remember that it doesn't really matter how you take care of their teeth, as long as you take care of them from the beginning. Good morning, everyone. I'm Amy Morgan. I'm the marketing coordinator here for Pediatric Dental Associates and Orthodontics. And this month of November is National Adoption Month. And we are being joined by Miss Alex Fitton. She is actually the host of the Adoptive Mom podcast and obviously an adoptive mom herself. So we went straight to the source. I believe her and her family have been involved in the adoption world for a very long time, including with her mother. So I thought she was the perfect person to bring on. And fun fact, which I did not share in our pre-interview process, is that today is the 1 year anniversary of when we interviewed Alex last year. So super exciting. So here we are. So everyone say hello to Alex. Alex, say hello to everyone.
Hi guys. I'm so excited to be here.
We are super excited to have you. I think one of the things that we really want to try to touch on today is not every family is necessarily prepared for adoption. Maybe there's those people that sit in that space that are thinking about it. Maybe they're on the fence about being foster parents and getting started. So what we really wanted to highlight today are some ways that you can be a support system for those families, how you can get more information if your family is at all interested, volunteer opportunities, and definitely some local organizations that you can get involved with here that can help around the adoption process. I think even personally for me, like, I don't think our family is ready for an adoption or a foster family situation, but I want to be the biggest support system I can for the people that I love who are going through that. So I think that's something I would really like to touch on with it today. So Alex, why don't you just get started and kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and let's get into the business.
Sure. Okay. So yeah, I've always wanted to adopt. My mother jokes that even in high school, I was talking about adoption and how I wanted to do that someday. Thankfully, when I met my husband, he was on board with that. So we got started with the adoption process pretty quickly. We trained to be foster parents, but we knew that our goal was going to be adoption, which means that we only took kids who were already had terminated rights. So we were not like in an ethical breach of hoping for adoption and not supporting reunification, if that makes sense. So we did that when I was pregnant with my oldest bio son, which is very crazy. We realized that. And so we had our bio son in December, and then we got the placement for our teenage adopted son in August. And then the next week I found out I was pregnant again. And then 2 months later, we got the call that our teen son's baby brother was born, abandoned at the hospital, and would we please adopt him too? And they didn't know I was pregnant yet. We had to disclose that. But then, so now we have basically twins, and we went through a long period of time where we just had, like, we had a changing table in our kitchen. That was a thing that happened in our lives. And so we're through the, like, fog of dying and drowning. And so now, once I got a little bit on the other side of that, I looked around and I started realizing that there's so little support for adoptive families who, you know, just they were struggling to help people understand exactly what we're going through. And I think that a lot of people look at us and they put us on a pedestal. I always say that we're put on a pedestal that we didn't ask to be on, which sounds really ungrateful. And I don't mean it that way. I just mean that sometimes that can make us feel like even more isolated. They always say it's really lonely at the top. And that sounds like, it sounds like a really weird phrase to use, but when you put us on that pedestal, it just separates us from everyone else, which makes it really hard to keep going. And so we were, you know, we went through that struggle and I just decided, you know, no one's really talking about this stuff. No one is really talking about how hard this is, kind of like the ugly side, because nobody wants to discourage people from adoption. And I certainly don't want to do that either. But I realized that adoptive moms were the ones who were falling through the cracks. They were the ones who were not being seen, who their experience was not being validated. And so I decided that I was going to be that person. And so I started the Adoptive Mom Podcast in 2017. It's led to a ton of other opportunities to share about adoption, to share about the adoptive mom side of adoption and what we go through and how our struggle matters and how when we are supported and when we feel built up, we can keep going. We can actually adopt more kids and we can encourage others to adopt more if the community is bigger and people feel like they're not going to be left out in the cold doing this really hard thing all by themselves. So that's kind of where we're at today. I am in my seventh season of the podcast, currently going through a series on the Enneagram, which I realize is not everyone's thing, but I am obsessed and I really like talking about how understanding other people's personalities and their motivations can help us understand them and support them better. So that's where we're at.
I totally agree on the Enneagram. It is my jam and I laugh all the time. There was literally a post up over, like, I think like yesterday about that I'm a 2-wing 3 and my husband's a 9-wing 8. And there was this, like, when they're spot on to like stuff that like applies to your marriage specifically, yeah. Like I just crack up. Or your kids for sure. But yeah. I am super excited about this season. I think that's a very interesting road to go down and try to get, you know, to where you can to build those relationships. I think it's important. I'd also just think it's very random that there's literally 9 personalities in the world and whatever, like that's.
Yeah.
The fact that it's so spot on is weird. Okay. So
it's crazy.
Yes. Right. So I digress. So one of the main things that we want to highlight today is just let's talk to our audience about how maybe let's start with we're thinking about becoming foster parents. Maybe we're not ready for adoption at the moment, but we're thinking about, you know, becoming foster parents, starting to prepare our home for that, starting to prepare our family. And, you know, where should they start? What are some organizations that they should become involved with for that?
Sure. So if you're here in Arkansas, there's an organization called The Call. And The Call, you know, I really appreciate it. So I think of adoption like a triad, right? So there's the birth mother, birth parents, and then there's the adoptive parents, and then the child. And all three parts of that triad are very important. Obviously, we would love to think that the adopted child is the most important. And I think that in the end, they are. But if those other two parts are not supported, then nothing, like the adopted child gets dropped. So that's part of, like, I focus on one end of that triad. So there's organizations in Arkansas that I'm very close to that focus on the other parts of the triad. One of those is The Call. They really focus on the child and they support the families for sure. But they're there to catch those children who are falling through the cracks and make it actually easier for families to become foster parents. The great thing is that if you're not in Arkansas, there are a lot of other states that are creating organizations modeled after The Call because The Call does such a good job. I'll plug Ann Mythaler. She's fantastic. She's the director of The Call up here in Northwest Arkansas. And then the central offices are in Little Rock. So what they do is they actually take the DHS training that all foster parents have to go through. And they don't, when I say condense, I do not mean that they water it down. It's the same training, but they condense it into 2 weekends instead of it being an 8-week process. And so they make it a little bit easier. They help with childcare. They feed you, you know, they just make it an easy and kind of fun process to go meet other families, start that connection. And then you all kind of graduate together. So that's the training that we went through back in 2014. And we are still in contact with the people who trained us and with the people who were in our graduating class. And so it's a great community. There's also a community group on Facebook that is heavily utilized. It's great. Just people asking questions. We share things with each other, like things that most people would sell, like furniture. People on The Call Facebook page just give to each other. We got, you know, bunk beds and dressers and all kinds of stuff that we want to share with each other because we realize that the need is so high and we want to be there to support other foster parents. So that is an organization that really supports the adopted child by making it easier on on the families doing that adoption. There's also an organization called Project Zero. And so I think of the call trains you for foster care. And then once those children have termination of parental rights, which is called TPR in adoption world speak, Project Zero is an organization. Christy Irwin is the executive director of that. She's been on my podcast. She's fantastic. She actually remembers me. She taught Sunday school when we used to live in Little Rock. And so she always talks about how she knew me when I was little. I don't remember her. I'm sorry, Christy. But it's really fun to have that connection and then learn about my lifelong obsession with adoption. But they take care of the kids after they are TPR'd. And so they have a waiting kids heart gallery where they put their pictures in a little bio, and they really bring awareness to those kids and help to get them adopted. And then I would also love to highlight Shared Beginnings. Shared Beginnings is an organization that really focuses on the birth mother part of that triad, which I would say, even though it is not self-serving to say this, birth mothers are the most dropped part of the triad, the most ignored. And that's a big, you know, hot button issue right now, is talking about pro-life. And what does that mean? To be truly pro-life means to support the birth mother and means to support that child after it is born and all that stuff. And so at the Adoptive Mom Podcast, we really like to focus on that. Certainly at Shared Beginnings, they like to focus on that too. And so they provide legal support for birth mothers, which it's crazy, but until recently, there was nothing in Arkansas saying that a birth mother had to have their own legal representation. So an attorney could represent both the adoptive parents, who are the ones paying, and the birth mother. So obviously, they are going to be more in favor of the person paying them than the woman who's providing the child, and which is really sad. And a lot of people took advantage of that. A lot of birth mothers were heavily abused because of this in the system. And so Shared Beginnings really stepped in and advocated for that law to be changed. And now they are the ones providing that legal support and making sure that these birth mothers are supported before, during, and after their birth.
That's so awesome. Yes. I think that's a lot. That's great. I mean, I think I did do a little bit of research before we talked and checked out the call website. So we will make sure that we get all the links to those organizations in the comments. But on the call, I found it very interesting that even if you are local to us and you're in Northwest Arkansas, that there are apparently 513 kids that need foster families, and there's only 180 families available. Yes. So there is a huge need, and you may not see it on a daily basis in our area. Like, it may not come to mind in our area, but it is there. You know, we highlight a lot of other things for children in need. And I think in Northwest Arkansas, we're very blessed to have a lot of the features and the things that we have in Northwest Arkansas. But I also feel like there's a lot of things that get hidden and like don't just aren't as forward in mind for people. So I think that's really important to call that out, which is another reason why we wanted to do this project today and really highlight this month, is because obviously as a pediatric dentist, we care about kids. We care about kids in our community. We care about the kids specifically right here in Northwest Arkansas. And so we'll post those links. And I did just want to point out, on the call, there were tons of ways to volunteer. So again, even if you are not, like, if your family is, you know, a large family and maybe you're not ready for fostering, or you're not prepared for that, or you're not ready to do the adoption, or you're worried about, you know, the process of all those things, there are still ways to volunteer. There are still ways to be a support system for these families and to encourage other foster families and other adoptive families in small and big ways. And so we will definitely make sure that we post that. You know, real quickly, I'm going to try to keep this short and sweet because we know parents are busy. So is there anything else that you want to say to our audience, or anything else that you can do to encourage maybe just the individual who's watching today that's like, I want to help, I want to do something aside from these organizations, obviously, but is there anything that just comes to your mind that is not included in these organizations?
Sure. Well, and really quickly, I would love to just tag along to what you said about volunteer opportunities. And I want to say that a lot of those can be so simple. Like I said, the call provides childcare for families who are training. people can volunteer to do that childcare for a few hours one weekend and that's it. Like you're done. So just little things like that are so incredibly helpful. Project Zero has volunteers drive children to their photo shoots for their heart gallery. Like that's such a simple thing. You can drive. It's so easy, but that's like, I don't know, the simplicity of the volunteer needs and the volunteer just goals that you can have to support adoptive families in this way. So yes, thank you for saying that, Amy, because that's such an important thing to remember is that it doesn't have to be overly complicated. You're not committing to a part-time job. It's just little ways that you can help the adoption community if you are not an adoptive or foster parent. So, in the U.S. alone, there are over 400,000 kids in foster care, and over 110,000 of those kids are waiting for adoption. 110,000. That's so many. And that's just one part of adoption. There's also international and domestic infant adoption, kinship adoption, lots of other ways. Only a fraction of those 110 plus kids actually get adopted. Over 20,000 of those kids are going to age out every year with no families. And those kids are at a higher risk for homelessness, unemployment, death, imprisonment, all kinds of things like that. So being the difference for those kids in even small ways is such a huge, huge need. And as at the Adoptive Mom Podcast, I feel like it's my job to really support, like I said, the adoptive mom, validate her experiences, talk about not how she can do better, but how she's already killing it. And So I always encourage people to, the number one way that you can support us is by listening and believing us and validating our experience. Tangible things like meals and help with childcare and stuff like that. Those are great. Like I would never, ever, ever turn down a meal. That is so helpful. But a big, huge way that you can support is just by being there and not turning away from us because things are hard to hear. I think that that's the thing that is so hurtful is when we have friends that are like, you're a little too difficult for us, so I'm out. And just, you know, plugging you guys at PDA&O, that's where our kids go. And we have one kid in particular who has a lot of higher needs because of drug exposure in utero and, genetic conditions and everything like that. And so going to the dentist can be very traumatic for us, but everyone on your staff is so amazing. And that's such a support to not have to feel embarrassed, but to feel like they get it. They do not judge us for this. They are there to catch us. And any service provider, like a dentist or a doctor or anything like that, who does not make us feel like we are in the wrong or we are messing up or we are screwing it all up is so much more helpful than you guys could even imagine. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And that is something that our staff is trained on. You know, there's specifically our hygienist. We have 7 actually registered dental hygienists on staff. In their schooling, they go through a lot of things for special needs patients, trauma kids, you know, I mean, all those things. And the biggest thing, like adoptive children, foster children, any children on the spectrum, any children with any type of special needs is, I think a lot of parents have that fear of this is one more place I have to take them where something's going to go wrong and someone's going to judge me. And I've never deemed PDA&O this, but we are definitely the judge-free zone. Like kids don't love the dentist in the first place. So we already know and have our hearts open and our minds open to the fact that kids just are not going to love this experience. So, think that's a benefit to it is that we don't have to come to it with some special conditions. We can just have, like I said, have our hearts and minds open to that. The experience is the experience for any child, regardless of what their history is or what conditions they're dealing with and things like that. I hope that we make parents feel more comfortable with that. I'm still trying to coax. We have a mutual friend, Lauren, who is scared to death to bring her child to the dentist. And I'm still trying to coax her into that. And, so it is a process. I mean, regardless of the situation you're in, but when I hear stories like this, where we're not, you're not even seeing that, you're not even being like viewed as something that's different. You're just going through the experience. And the girls are just, you know, they're handling it. They're taking care of that. Like, that's one of the hugest, like, compliments that we can get, especially as a pediatric dentist in this area. I see a lot of that in comments on Facebook and things like that as well. And so those things just, they warm my heart because it means we're doing what we were made to do. So I really appreciate that.
And that just shows that being trauma informed is not, like I said, it's not some special class or certification that you have to get. It's just about being aware and not turning a blind eye to things because it's scary or hard. And so when people, that's like kind of, I'm trying to think of a good example that's not like problematic, but it's like, all I can think about is like a few years ago when people were wearing safety pins on their shirt. And that was like their silly way of being like, you're safe with me. And like I said, that might be problematic, but trauma informed to us is that it's like, are you trauma informed? Oh, good. Okay. We're safe with you. And that just means that you are aware of the difficulties and the issues that we face and that you are cool with it and that you understand.
For sure. And I'm really glad you brought that up. That wasn't even on my agenda. So, you know, thanks. So in closing, I just want to say, I want to highlight and just talk. I know you talked a little bit about why you started the Adoptive Mom podcast, but I just want to say that I am not a foster parent. I do not have any path towards that goal at the moment. I'm not going to take it off of the books, but it's not in my plans at the moment, not adoption, anything, but I have several, you know, friends in my church life group. I have you guys. I have another friend who we have mutual friends who are starting the process. And I think even if that's another way to be supportive is to educate yourself, find out what these families are going through. We talked about it in the pre-interview, you know, there's a certain episode and I'm going to try to find the link for that and post it, but it was so informative for me. And I remember, like, I think I either FaceTimed or I texted you and Brian and I was like in tears, like, just like, this is so inspiring to just like, know that like, my prayers and my thoughts and like the things I could do to be supportive that don't take a lot of time. But the stories can be heart-wrenching and it can be hard, but you know, being able to be supportive and get those tools, you know, that we can use at being on the ones who are not as a support system, regardless of actually being an adoptive parent or a foster parent. So I just want you to highlight that and just tell real quickly where everybody can find your podcast.
Absolutely. So you can listen to my podcast. It's the Adoptive Mom podcast. Anywhere you like to listen, we're everywhere, infesting your phone. You can also go to theadoptivemompodcast.com. You can find me on socials at The Adoptive Mom, trying to make it really easy for you guys. And yeah, we post new episodes every Monday while we're in season. I do two seasons a year, and you can find me on social media and email list and everything else in the, even in the breaks of those seasons. But yeah, just trying to bring awareness and be inclusive on different people's stories and, highlight even support systems. You have a lot of support system episodes, people who are just like you, who have not adopted, and may never, and you just want to support and be there for us. And that's so important.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We really super appreciate it. I'm going to sign you off of here and let you go take care of your stuff. All right, guys. So you may be wondering why we cover topics like this. You know, this may not be something that you're thinking like, why is my dentist talking about adoption and things like that? But I hope that you've been able to see over the last year and a half or 2 years that we've been trying to do some more of this content, that you are seeing that we are doing this to support our communities in all the possible ways that we can. So we hope you'll check out Alex's podcast. We hope that once we get the links up for the different types of organizations she talked about, which is The Call, Project Zero, and Special Beginnings, we'll get those links put up. We hope that you'll reach out, contact them. If you have any questions, you know that you can always email me directly. It's amy@smilesarewild.com. If you're watching this on Facebook or you're seeing some information regarding this on Instagram, you can always shoot us a message in the direct messenger portion of this of social media. And you can always go to our website and send a message through our website messaging center there. There are numerous ways for you to contact us. We just want to be a resource for you. We're hoping that this will help for you to support families that you are in contact with that may be in the adoption phase, our adoptive parents, foster parents, any of those things. We also have a direct connection to Alex. So if you need any information on any of those programs, I'm sure we can get that information for you. Again, it is November. It is National Adoption Month. And we hope that this video has given you some information that you can use right now to get started to help support some of these families. We appreciate you guys watching, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next week with more tips and tricks for you and your child. In the meantime, please subscribe to our podcast. You can also find out more information online by searching for Smiles Are Wild on all platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. But don't forget, it doesn't really matter how you take care of their teeth as long as you take care of them from the beginning.